Luke, you're connected to Sagada through family.
That's correct.
Can you tell us about that, please?
Sure. I guess the main connection to Sagada is through the maternal side of the family, and I guess, you know, my it's my mother's birthplace, but it's a place that we went to for growing up as a kid for Christmas and Easter, and that was our holiday place. Though, and of course, it's the place where Bridget and I got married. So look, largely we are connected through that by family, by virtue of that, that you know, and our ancestors came from there. In fact, last year there was a reunion of clans, which was about 500 people that came. So I guess we're very closely related, our family.
Yeah. So that reminds me that connection with Sagada that you have, Luke, reminds me of what you said about your own practice, that you like to engage with people. Can you tell us about how the seedling maybe is an expression of that interest to engage with people?
I guess with the seedling, we see this as a way that we can contribute to the community there. I mean, we've been going backwards and forth now for, 14 years. And we're both passionate about permaculture. And I know I'm drawn to the Igorot culture because of their connection to the land and their, you know, their history of animism and just that love of nature. And I just think that that's something that is at risk of being lost there with the sort of huge sort of influx of tourism that's happening now. So I guess it was just about sort of using art and creativity to kind of reconnect in a way. Yeah.
Just for clarification, the seedling is it's a renovated house that you've converted into a residency space, an artist space, sort of a workshop area, but also a place where you can practice eco-gardening?
Yeah, so it's like a sustainable, it's like a little, it's very small, low-key, low-impact sustainable development. Sort of like an education, informal educational facility. So when we go over there, we hold workshops. So we're holding a hot composting workshop. We're going to hold like a kind of really casual skill-sharing workshop based around craft. We're setting up a residency where someone can just go there and stay. I think we're going to have some criteria in that they contribute something to the local schools or help workshops or contribute back to community in some way, bring in new skills to the area.
How do you see the space, Luke?
I think Bridget summed it up quite nicely. We were trying to look for keywords, and some of those keywords were artist residency. One was eco retreat, sustainable living. All those kind of key phrases that you've heard before is really to promote those ideas to the local community and share those ideas. Promoting permaculture and sustainable living, essentially. And I guess what's occurring in Sagada is because of the influx of tourism, I guess we just wanted to draw people's attention to how to live a more sustainable lifestyle.
We have a lot to learn too. See, I mean, I see it as a two-way thing. I think there's just such knowledge in the locals, you know, and I think particularly in the elders. I mean, when we had our wedding there, I mean, it was an amazing experience. Like, they cooked for 3 days. We fed the whole village. It was an incredible experience. And you had these elders came, and the sort of the way they share the gift, what's the gift sharing? And then the playing of the gongs, and this, you know, tourists came to our wedding because they had heard that there was this thing happening in the village, you know. It was just the most amazing experience. And I just think that we have so much that we can learn too. And I just sort of see it as this kind of like participatory sharing, kind of intermingled kind of space that things can happen.
What kind of parallels can you draw between Australia and the Philippines? You know, number one, having personal connections to the Philippines and living in Australia, but also secondly, the Philippines, just like Australia, having sort of to deal or negotiate sharing a space with traditional culture, indigenous people, and sort of modernization. How do you see that?
I'm not sure if either country is doing it. I mean, I think Sagada does it. What I think is great about Sagada is that if you want to do something like chop down a tree, you have to consult the elders. You can't just go to the council and do something. You have to respect the even though the elders are not sort of the formal, you know, administrative office holders of the town, they are well respected, and that you need to consult them to really do anything that affects the land.
Essentially, it first goes to the tribal council, and if they can't sort it out in the traditional way, then it'll go to the next level and go towards the more contemporary through the court system. Mm-hmm. So, and locally, they do try to do things internally first before it escalates to the next level. And unfortunately, what we're seeing is those who have money, those who have the capacity, will escalate it straight to the court system.
They're ignoring us.
And then they'll ignore the traditional methods of negotiations and sorting out issues.
Your work in the film industry, is that something that you see that you could, maybe extend to Sagada through the Seedling?
And there's one commercial aspect, which is that my work does take me back to the Philippines, simply because the productions here would like to go back and to the Philippines and shoot sequences. So for one part, that's what takes me back there. But in terms of my work in film and television and in how that is incorporated in the Seedling, look, I really don't know. For the moment, I'm there just to document, what we're actually doing, as a way of sharing what we're doing to the community. There was a documentary that I had started that's still on the back burner, and really what it's looking at, it was looking at the disconnect from having left a place like Sagada and living in a place like Australia and feeling that loss of connection to the community and that finding your place in society when you've been taken out of your traditional homeland. So I was exploring that connecting back with the people, with the land, to where you first came. So I do have a personal project that's lingering there in the in the back. I mean, we came here in the late 70s, and then there's a whole generation that came in the 80s, and there's a lot of Filipinos now that are actually born here, who are in their mid to late 20s, early 30s now. Mm. And it's interesting because I occasionally bump into them, and they can't speak Tagalog, but they have this urge to want to know all about where they came from, and even Robertino through Facebook. So, I want to learn Tagalog, who wants to come and join me? And a bunch of Filipinos going, yeah, me. I was like, wow, there's so many of you that are actually here in Sydney that can't even speak Tagalog. I mean, that's just a generational thing, so it's interesting to see.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Pleasure. Thank you.